Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord says, my son is a light. My son is an illumination. He's a light of men. He's a light that shines in darkness, which darkness cannot comprehend. He's not just a light, but he's also an overcomer. His light is an overcoming light. His light is the only light that can overcome darkness. So come into the light of my son. Come and know him. Come and learn him. He is that great light that lighted every man which cometh into the world. He is a light of ages. He is a light of all ages. He is a light of the present. Even the present world dimension, which is unknown, the heavens, bears his light. But he is also the light of the world to come, which is the light which we speak, which is the light which by the gospel is being brought unto you. So take heed to that light. Because that light will begin to shine in your midst. Yes. And it will begin to shine in your heart. Yes. So take heed to that light. Yes. And come to that light. Assemble. Yes. Assemble. Yes. Assemble. Yes. Assemble. Yes. Be gathered unto the light of the sun. And be instructed. Out of his light comes forth his doctrine.
Yes.
Out of his light comes the revelation of his person. Hitherto you have known the light of creatures. Many creaturely elements have instructed you. But now you shall come into the light of the Creator. Because by the Son were all things made. Without him was nothing made that was made. He himself is the brightness of the glory of the Father. And the express image of his person. And in time past the Father has spoken to us by the prophets. But in these last days, in these last days, in these very last days, shall he speak to us by his Son. His Son shall speak. The Son will 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 give his light. He shall illuminate you. He will enlighten you. He will enlighten you, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Messiah, Charistus, Messiah in the hands, sir. We bless you. We bless you, Father. Let's just worship God. Just thank him. I just bless his name this morning. Just reverence him this morning. Reverence his presence, his lovely presence, the presence of the Almighty. Thank you for mercy. Let's thank him for mercy and privilege to commune with him, to fellowship with him. It's a privilege to be in the presence of God. Say, Father, we bless you. We bless you. We bless your name. We adore you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, my Father, I exalt you this morning. In all reverence, in all brokenness of heart, all simplicity of spirit, I come before you in weakness, in humility, with nothing, empty, wretched and poor and broken. I come before you, my Father. I reverence your name. Your presence is fearful, is scary. You are holy. You are separate. You are too mighty for us. I just acknowledge you this morning. I just acknowledge you this morning. I just acknowledge you. I acknowledge your name, that excellent name. I bless you, Father. Our Father, we are here again before you by your mercy. Your mercy has brought us. Your hand has brought us again to learn at your feet. We have nothing. We are coming emptying ourselves of all. We are coming just desirous to hear your words, wholesome words that can save, words of delight that can bring joy and gladness, that can bring satisfaction to our soul. We bless you. Let your doctrine distill as the dew this morning. Let it fall from heaven. Let it rest upon our ready hearts. Make my tongue as the pen of the ready writer. to write the Spirit, not the letter this morning, because the Spirit will impart life. Help us, Father. We bless you. Thank you for the ministration of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the tongues, the interpretation, the prophecy. Thank you for promises which you are giving to us. Oh, we fanashi predizadon atapranita promise. Petanista pranita praniata cani pene. A profanata perfasista pronafanatavine. A fasaprani promises. Exceeding great and precious promises which you are giving, Father. We thank you. We thank you, O King of Glory. We worship you. Asiya, Alihend, Ebranihend, Samania, Fana. Father, as I speak this morning, I am asking for baptisms in your names. Let hearts this morning receive baptisms. Be baptized into streams of the Spirit as you have promised. Our Father, we worship you. Help us to journey to find the quick word that can cause us to come alive and to live even more unto you. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. And we just greet the person next to you and tell them, I'm just in love with you this morning. You look beautiful. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Morning, everyone. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Adinasai, you know how the name. We worship you. Oh, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious God, Emmanuel. God is with us, blessed Redeemer, the living the name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious God, Emmanuel, God is with us. I worship you. Amen. The living word. Thank you. Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. From from verse 1. Can someone read, please, verse 1 and 2 and 3, sorry. Verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, so in whom means then in Christ, I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ I hid all treasures, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In who? Let's say in Christ.
In Christ.
I hid
all the treasures
of wisdom
and
knowledge.
Knowledge.
Let's see verse 9. Amen. So for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise the Lord. Now you realize that all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are actually the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. Does it make sense? If you line those two up, you realize that what the Godhead is full of. The Godhead is full of treasures. Anything that is treasure. From our study we've been doing last throughout the conference, we've come to a better understanding of the word treasure, right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So your physical gold on the earth, or your diamond, your precious stones, the physical ones you can, you know, cut out of the ground and then refine and put on your neck. Praise the Lord. Your blings are not really treasures, right? We'll learn that real treasures are things that are hidden, not by man, but by God. Praise the Lord. So in the Godhead, that's the only place where you can find true treasures or true riches, what the Bible calls the true riches of the kingdom. Now the Bible says that in Him, amen, is in Christ. If we read verse 8, it says, beware. Let's read verse 8.
Beware.
Yes.
Lest any man spoil you.
Okay.
Philosophy and vain deceit.
Yes.
After the tradition of men.
Okay.
After the rudiments of the world.
Yes.
And not after Christ.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let any man spoil you through philosophy. What do philosophers do? They are treasure hunters, right? Mm-hmm. They look for treasures in what?
Logical
treasures. Treasures in understanding. Mm-hmm. Philosophers are the guys who pride themselves in getting into regions in thought or in understanding that the average man cannot get to. So they are really treasure hunters. They look for treasures. Praise the Lord. If you can't bribe a philosopher with gold, can you? A real one, not the fake one. Praise the Lord. You know, they are fake ones. But a real philosopher, someone who is giving to his, like those Greeks. You know, the Greeks have produced some of the best thinkers in the natural, right? Those guys, they are giving to their knowledge. The greatest wealth they have is their storage of what? Of knowledge, of understanding. To a philosopher, money means nothing. Praise the Lord. Philosopher, the real currency is what? Knowledge, understanding. That's their treasure. Now, this church that Paul was writing to, the church in Colossae, this was a church in the Grecian region back then. Right? They were in the Grecian region. That region was a heavy in philosophy. You had a lot of thinkers then, people who were given to searching out things, to searching out matters. Now, in this church now got to a place where they began to come into, you know, interactions with many of those kind of people. So you see people who will sit down and tell you, okay, why do you believe in that? Why is this? Why is that? Why is that? And they came into the church as well. So someone who is philosophical by in nature, it doesn't, anywhere they get to, they want to reason everything out. If they get born again, they want to get to the logic of why are we born again? And what's the, you know, they use their mind to try and get to the root of things. That is the nature of a philosopher. Amen. But in the faith, it's different. You don't get access to the treasure of God by thinking or by mental exercise. You can't think your way. Amen. You can lock yourself up in the room with the scripture for 3 years and just be thinking about it, and you won't come into one tiny element of truth. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are what? Spirit. And they are spirit first, and then they are truth. You can't gain access to truth without spirit, because truth is buried in the spirit. Truth is hidden in the spirit. Where truth is hidden, you can't. No man can find it. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. So, they are treasures. Let's say treasures. They are treasures of understanding. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says here, in what verse did we read? Verse 3. It says, in him, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the what? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These wisdom and knowledge treasures are beyond all things that the philosophers of the world can come into. Because these are treasures hidden in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us see 1 Peter. Amen. Okay, before then, let's see Ephesians, sorry. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Can we read verse 3? Yes. Praise the Lord. So we are blessed with what? All spiritual blessings. Where? So in heavenly places, they are what? They are spiritual blessings. And those spiritual blessings are where? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So those spiritual blessings are what you call the riches of his glory. Right? Those are eternal riches that are stored up in the heavens for us. And those riches are riches of understanding that we come into as we are learning the person of Christ. Let's go back to that Colossians chapter 2 where we were reading. I want us to pick something from there. Amen. Yeah, Colossians 2, where we're reading. From verse 6. Can we read from verse 6? It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye also in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and what? Vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. The rudiments of this world are the principles of the world, right? Now, if you find someone who can teach the rudiments, who can bring the logic behind the cosmos, the way things operate, you know, some people have that kind of knowledge. They can tell you, these are the laws that govern the world. If you can put this and this together, you get this result. Amen. There are people who are such prowess, even in the churches too. There are pastors who their approach to Christianity is according to that order. They don't teach you Christ; they teach you things. They teach you how do you live a good life? How do you combine laws to achieve results? Praise the Lord. Those things are not new. They started a long time ago. These were one of the first kinds of oppositions that the early church encountered when they began to spread. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the Jews seek a sign, the Greek seek what? They seek knowledge, right? But Christianity started in Jerusalem. That was where the first church was born. Some people say that the first church was a Catholic church. It's not true. That's not the first church. The first church was a church that was born on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were seated in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came, and then all of them got filled with the Spirit. Amen. And then Peter began to preach, and many got born again. And the Bible says that church continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, meeting from house to house. That was the church, the beginning of the church. Now, when the church started in Jerusalem, they didn't encounter too much philosophy, because the Jews are people who are more sign conscious. Remember when they came to Jesus, they said, "Show us a sign." that was their validation of him. How much signs can you do? Because they come from a background of signs. All their fathers, their prophets, were great signs guys. One locked up heaven for how many years? Right? He just locked up heaven, threw the key somewhere, and went away. And the whole nation was looking for him. That was Elijah. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. What about Moses? All the signs of Moses. You see, all of their fathers, their prophets, people who were messengers from God to them, were people of signs. Amen. The way, you know, when Moses came back from the wilderness and then he went to Egypt, you know, he ran away before, they were going to kill him. So when he came back, he was one of the most wanted guys because he had killed an Egyptian. But he went to the Jews and he had to first of all establish himself to them that God has sent him to come and save them. You know how awkward that must have sounded, very silly, right? This Moses that they are looking for to arrest is the one who is coming to save us from bondage. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the only way God could establish Moses as a prophet among his people was God had to do some mighty acts through him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Moses now began to do what? The Bible says with a mighty hand. God had to bring forth a mighty hand to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. So those people only respond to signs. And you see, as he brought them out of Egypt to the wilderness, every single day there had to be mighty things happening. Because if you go a whole day and something mighty doesn't happen, what will happen? Some of those elders, praise the Lord, who are, you know, some of them are might be custodians of the signs. They must have passed them down from generation. They would begin to question Moses, what's going on? You are not performing anymore. Praise the Lord. It got to a point they asked him, you know, maybe you should have left us in Egypt. Praise the Lord. So that's the nature of the Jews. They are people of signs. When they came and asked Jesus for a sign, Jesus said, "I won't give you any sign apart from the sign of Jonah," which was an invisible sign, right? Jonah was buried in the belly of a fish for 3 days, the way Christ was buried for 3 days, and then Christ resurrected. Jesus said, "That's the only sign that I will give to you." So that was Jesus indicating to them that order of believing based on natural evidences is coming to an end. Jesus was closing that chapter to them. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, Jesus, John the Baptist too, had that nature. John the Baptist didn't do miracles. John the Baptist was a man of word. He had a sword in his mouth. Praise the Lord. He was convicting them of their sins. Amen.
Amen.
So that order changed. But you see, after the church was given birth to, that's why also you see in the book of Acts, when the church started, how did the church start? Right after those first 3,000 give their life to Christ, the next thing you began to see the demonstration of the apostles, the acts of the apostles, or the acts of the apostles is actually the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. So that was an era of the name of the Holy Ghost, as we've learned before. When the name of the Holy Ghost began to be established, the apostles came into that name and began to operate by the anointing and the power of the Spirit, doing many signs and wonders. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can see all the different healings that happened. Beautiful gate, shadow. I got to a point their shadow was even what? Healing the sick. Amen. Was raising the dead. That was how the only way the church could grow at that time. In Jerusalem, right? Because they were around the people who were looking for signs. If you could demonstrate the power of God to a degree, they would believe. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So they were able to get many, and many were added to the church daily. But by the time the church began to move out of Jerusalem, you know, at the point the Jews began to scatter because God did it deliberately. Right, those Jews in Jerusalem began to be persecuted. Many of them had to spread out to other regions, to Asia, to the Grecian region. When they now moved out, they now began to see different kind of souls who are not responsive to miracles, signs, wonders, and the Lord. Amen. If you meet a Greek philosopher, you can do all you want. He doesn't care. You've not touched him. You've not awoken him, really. Praise the Lord. But when you begin to bring some kind of reason, you begin to dissolve matters. Ah, there's something. You got something. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the person, really, who God used to spread the church, to make the church break out of that locality in Jerusalem was Paul. When Paul came on the scene, right? Paul actually was the apostle to the Gentiles. But that's why you see he wrote all these books were books to Gentile churches, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you know, all those churches, Colossians. Those were letters to churches in the Gentile regions. Praise the Lord. So when the gospel was about to break out into the Gentile region, you couldn't have a church at that point who all they had was the ability to do miracles. Right? You couldn't. Because those things would not appeal to those kind of nations. You need something else. That's why God had to raise Paul. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that the God of your fathers has raised you and called you that you shouldest see the just one, shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And Jesus appeared to him and told him, I will begin to appear to you many more times. Right, for you, and I will send you to the Gentiles. Through you, they will come into light. Praise the Lord. He said, you will bear my name before them. That was Jesus himself now. That was not the name of the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus telling Paul, you will bear my name. Praise the Lord. So it was Paul who brought the era of the name of the Son into the church. The name of the Son, the era of the name of the Son, that was the era of knowledge. That was when the church came into a season of knowledge, when the name of the Son began to be unveiled in the churches through Paul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, when the gospel now went into these regions, what you now found was the kind of opposition that came against the gospel was different. It wasn't power guys anymore. You know, before, you would see guys who had power, who could, people like Simon, right, the sorcerer, right, people like that. They had power. They showed their own power. It would take a more powerful guy with the gospel, right, to come and display the power of God. I'm like, okay, yours is mightier than my own. And then he will submit. Praise the Lord. But in these other regions, these were regions of knowledge, there are people who were able to now begin to muster up. They could now attack the church based on philosophy. They could bring reasonings against the gospel of Christ. They could raise ideas that can try to counter or put down the truth of the gospel. Praise the Lord. And for the most part, like right now, where we are, even though we are from Africa, but we are really all Gentiles, right? We are Christians, but we are Gentiles in the natural. This nation of North America is a Gentile nation. And this nation has actually moved, the church in Canada, for example, has moved beyond the state. Let me not say the church, the nation. Let me say the heart of the nation has moved beyond the state of where the kind of expression of God in the Jerusalem church could deal with. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So in Canada, for example, you can't just start a church and start preaching prosperity, you know, God will bless you, and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. You can't just preach the outward demonstration of God's power, because many of them are not really interested in things like that. Many of them are more interested in logical stuff. You know, where is your wisdom? Right? Where is your wisdom? Because they have built a system in this world that is founded on human logic, reasoning, right? The advancement, technology, everything is built on what? Ability to think. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the greatest mountain in the heart of unbelievers in our day, in this nation, is actually their reliance in logic. That's what stands at the gate, at the door of their heart, that stops the message of the cross, the message of Christ, from coming to them. I was speaking to a guy at work one day, and the guy knew I was a Christian, so he began to ask me. He must have been wondering, what is a smart guy like this doing with all this Christian stuff? Right? With all your smartness, you can't realize that this Christianity is just a religion, it's just a way to control people and all, you know, those things that they say. So why? What is your? So he was trying to get to the core of my logic, once to arrive at my reasoning, how I'm still able to handle knowledge, right? In quotes. Praise the Lord, because the knowledge of the world is really ignorance. It's actually a great veil of blindness that blinds their heart. And the guy was just questioning me about he was wanted me to give him a logical answer for my faith. Praise the Lord. And now, you know, the normal thing to do now, we try to explain, Christianity is not just, you know, faith, you know, all that, you know, and it's actually historically proven, and there are records and all that shows that Jesus died and all that. You know, that's what... That's the normal course to go. But the Holy Spirit just told me, no, that's not profitable to this guy. The order is not that you will know first. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must first what? Believe that he is. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I now told him that I can't make you understand. And I told him that in Christianity, you believe so that you can know. You don't know so you can believe. You see, that's the approach of science. They want to know. Show me the proofs that I will believe. If you can prove to me that Jesus died and he resurrected and he's the Son of God, give me a scientific proof, right? Then, aha, you're speaking to me. Then I will believe him. But that defeats the purpose, doesn't it? It means that your faith is no longer rest. It's not really faith. It's just logic. It's a logical exercise. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says, he that cometh to God must first what? You have to believe. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, God who desires that all men, what? Be saved and then what? Come to the knowledge. So you believe. That salvation means believe by being saved by believing. You weren't saved by knowledge. You were saved by what? By believing. They preached Jesus to you, and then something happened deep down within your soul. The word that was preached to you triggered a faith response. Amen. Most of us, the moment when we yielded to Christ, it wasn't a logical moment. It was a deep heart experience that you had that broke you, and then you were able to muster up belief to believe in Him. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the order. You must believe. When you believe, then you can know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm not a huge fan. I know apologetics is good. You know what apologetics is? The study of how to defend the faith and all that. It's good. I like it. But there's very little you can do. It's very weak. It's very weak. Because what keeps a heart from being able to receive Christ is more than just logic. It's because of weakness. The enemy has done something to make a man rely on his logic or his human reasoning, praise the Lord, or philosophy rather than the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Now, this is one of the issues, because this was a letter Paul was writing to the church in Colossae. Paul found that in the church, they now began to rise some believers who began to give themselves to philosophy after they were saved by believing. Right? They now began to draw back to anchoring their faith on knowledge. Now, knowledge in itself is good, right? But there's what you call spiritual knowledge, right? Or the knowledge of God, which you can only find in Christ. As you begin to grow as a Christian, you now begin to differentiate just knowing stuff versus knowing God. They are different. There are things you can know about creation, but they don't constitute the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is a spiritual knowledge. It can only be received spiritually. It's actually a knowledge of faith. It's a faith process that imparts the knowledge of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it says, lest any man spoil you through the philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. It says, not after Christ. Not after means Christ is different. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The learning of Christ, you can't know Christ by mental exercise, like we said. Amen.
Yeah.
When you are learning Christ, the Bible says that, the meaning of Christ is the anointed one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Christ is who?
The anointed
one. Let us see the book of Matthew. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I just feel that God wants to prepare our hearts to be able to journey, amen, in understanding. But the understanding that God wants to bring us into is not a natural type. The Bible calls it what? Spiritual what? Understanding. Amen.
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 Spiritual, say it, spiritual
understanding.
A spiritual understanding is only imparted by the activity of the Spirit, not just by thinking or reasoning. You can think the Bible and reason the Bible, but you haven't received what? Spiritual understanding. It takes spiritual understanding to grow spiritually. Right? You need understanding. You can't know Christ by just knowing where he was born, the things he did when he was walking the earth, right? At what age he died, what he said, the Beatitudes, you cram them, you know them. You can know all that stuff, but you don't know him. Because he is a spirit. Praise the Lord. So you need what? Spiritual what? Understanding. Spiritual understanding is ministered by the Spirit. And that's an ability every Christian should have when you begin to come into knowledge of him. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, amen. Let's read from, it's a place we know very well. I just want to to pick something from there. Let's read from verse 13 down.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying,
yes,
do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that I have John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say ye I am? And Simon answered and said, that I have the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Wow.
17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, Jesus said something. He said, you are the what? Christ. Now, this was a remarkable thing for him to say. Peter was a Jew, right? He knew there was a Christ which is to come. But this was the first time he was able to connect that this man before me, right, is the Christ. Now, you remember, look at all the people that, all the things they said before. See, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say what, Elijah? Others Jeremiah, and others what? One of the prophets. Why would they say that? Why would they liken him to these people? Sorry? The signs. Praise the Lord. Because he came and he was behaving like those guys. Because he was operating, by this time, Jesus was operating mainly under the name of the Holy Ghost. That was the name he started with. That Jesus of Nazareth. The name of the Holy Ghost, that's the name that works out things that people can see. So under that name, he looked like a prophet. He looked like one of those men of old. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But then he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? A divine enlightenment. This was a little tiny operation of spiritual what? Understanding happened to Peter. And he said that thou art the Christ. The what? Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood. When he says flesh and blood, what is that? Flesh and blood has not revealed. Means that flesh and blood has revelation. Right? Flesh and blood can what? Flesh and blood can carry Bible and break it down and line it up and say this one happened and that one. They can join some kind of thing together. Right? Flesh and blood can produce rares. But they are what? Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood, what Jesus is saying here, flesh and blood cannot discern the Christ in the spirit. Flesh and blood cannot unveil Christ. It can't teach Christ. Flesh and blood can't bring the revelation of Christ to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, but my Father, which is in heaven, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So what he's saying here is that the rock upon which the church will be built will be based on the principle of spiritual understanding. Does it make sense? He says, upon this rock will I build. Now that Colossians, where we read, yes. Just say it. So if you see, it says, upon this rock, right, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, what rooted and what built up and what established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanks. It means there was a way they were taught to be built. There was a kind of establishment, and their teacher really was Paul. Praise the Lord. There's a way he had taught them. There's a way the church has to be built. Amen. The church cannot be built by the revelation of flesh and blood or natural understanding. The church has to be built on what? Spiritual understanding. Instead, upon this rock will I what? Build my church. Now, why do you need a spiritual building? Because God is a spirit. Praise the Lord. And to house a spirit, you need a spirit. Right? So you need spiritual building blocks. to build a spiritual house, to house a spirit. Right. Now, what are the spiritual building blocks?
The word of God.
The word of, yes. Praise the Lord. That is that's wonderful. What else? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What else? Is that all the same? Okay. The spirit of what? Okay. The spirit of, what does the spirit of wisdom and knowledge deliver? Wisdom and revelation. Yeah? Sorry? Grace? You said grace? Oh, eyes. Praise the Lord. Insight. The truth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. The truth. I remember in the book of Timothy where Paul told him that I'm writing these things for you, that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of what? Of truth. So the church is supposed to be the pillar and what? And the ground. The church is supposed to be a house where truth is established, where truth is unveiled. And like I said before, you can't come into truth without the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can come into all kinds of knowledge and knowings and information. Amen. But what the church ought to be built upon is what? The foundation of what? Of truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you now find the building blocks for the spiritual house is actually the revelations of Christ. As Christ is being revealed to you through that spiritual process of spiritual understanding, you are receiving the building blocks for the house where what? God can dwell. Now, in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 2, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being what? Knit together in love, and unto all what? Riches. Unto all riches and full assurance of understanding. Now, how do you come to all riches and full understanding? Assurance of understanding. Praise the Lord. You need what? You need knowledge. There has to be a spiritual process, right? Whereby these riches, for it to come into these riches. Amen. Coming into riches means you must be receiving them. As you are receiving them, means you are coming into them. Means there's a process by which they are being transferred into you. And that process is not a natural process, it's a spiritual process. Praise the Lord. Now, so as you are learning Christ and you are according to the revelatory order, you are coming into the riches of God. What the Bible calls all riches and what? Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery. Means to the knowing of the mystery of God. Praise the Lord. To know the mystery of God and of the Father. You know, they are not the same. They are the same, but they are not the same. Right? The Father is God. Amen? But you can come into the name of the Father, but you've not arrived at the person of God. Right? It's the Father who will receive you. When the Father has received you, then the Father will bring you to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you see the Bible says the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why Son and Father? Those are capacities, right? I think I mentioned this before. Those are capacities whereby God wants to bring people to himself. So he has to distribute himself, right? And allow dimensions of him to operate in different capacities towards you, to bring you. Now, for you to be brought to God, you can't come the way you are. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Some things must happen to you. You must change. You must become like he is. You must learn his laws. You must learn his ways. You must come to a place where your person, your walk is not defiling, is not contrary to his nature. You must come to a place where there's an agreement between your nature, your will, and his will. Amen. And no man can arrive there by himself. The Bible says that if you have earthly fathers who what? Who chastise you, and you gladly receive their chastisement, say, shall you not much more be subject to what? The Father of spirits. and what? And leave. So there is someone called the Father of Spirits. So that Father of Spirits is the one who executes the fatherly dimension of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What's the job of a father? To raise kids. So if you've not dealt, you can't deal with God. God can't really become your God if his fatherly dimension hasn't raised you up and pruned you and purged you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They say who the Lord loves, he what? Chastises and then scourges every child whom he what? Every son whom he receiveth. So the work of the Father is to receive. The way he will receive is by taking you process, through process of being what? Being chastised. He will culture you. He will raise you. He will teach you. Praise the Lord. That's why you now find the Bible will say every good and perfect gift. Now, when you say good and perfect gift, now you shouldn't be thinking of some things anymore. All right? Praise the Lord. Luke.
Yes.
Right? There are some things that don't qualify in that order. There are nice things that are not good when in God's sight, when God says this thing is good. Right? Praise the Lord. There are many things, most of the things we know and don't even fall into that category. Most of the things that God calls good are things we are finding hard. We're just learning now to conceptualize. Praise the Lord. So those good and perfect gifts, they are not the gifts your dad or your mom gives you. The Bible says they come down from the Father of lights. Right? From the Father of lights. So if he's the Father of lights, means he distributes lights. His lights are his what? His gifts.
Substation.
Is it what?
Substation.
It's a nuclear substation in the spirit. That's distributing what? He's distributing light. The Father gives light. Those lights are his commodities. Praise the Lord. Light are his substances. His realm is a realm of light. This is who alone hath immortality. That's dwelling in a light which no man can approach. That is God is light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. His life is a light. In him was what? And that life was what? The light of man. Well, so that light then shined in darkness. So him, Bible says that God gave us a gift called Jesus. What God just gave us was a light. Jesus was actually a light that God that came down from God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said it in the book of John. He said, I am the light of what? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when what Jesus actually was, when God brought him, God sent a light to us. When God meditated on the problem of humanity and how to solve it, he resolved that what man needs is light. You know the prophet Isaiah prophesied about light that will come. In Isaiah chapter 6, arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now began to speak of a people who will come to what? A light. So there will be a time when there will be darkness upon the earth and then gross darkness upon the people. Said in that time, that's when your light, what? Will shine brighter. Praise the Lord. In order to cause the nation to come into the light, that their light has to be sent. And the light which was sent from God was Christ. Said, I am the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Said, if any man followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The psalmist put it this way. He said that with you are the fountains of life. Right? With you are the fountains of life. Fountain means issuance, right? As a source. God, life flows out of God. But that life is light form. When it comes, it's coming to you in light. So with you are the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Praise the Lord. So God himself is a light hiding in a light. Right? God is light, right? He alone has immortality. Immortality means a life that cannot die. He alone has that life that is hiding in a light which no man. That what a man is. A man is just a darkened fellow who hasn't been enlightened. So such a man who is in darkness can't come to that light. But you need to come into substances from the fountain. With you are the fountains of life, for in your light we see light. That light that makes you see light is the light of Christ that came to you, that will make you see the light of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see, the church is just a place or a ground where light is transacting light. Praise the Lord. When I'm coming to greet you, I should bring some light to you, and you give me some light. We should fellowship what? In light. We should discuss in light. When we have conversation, praise the Lord, I should have been gisting about what that sister did yesterday or day before yesterday, praise the Lord, or how bad that thing was. Or I should be what? Imparting something. But let your speech be with grace, seasoned with what? Salt, that it might impart grace to the hearers. The way you impart grace is by giving light, enlightenment. When I speak to you, your soul should be flooded with light. You should come into more light than you had before. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But the world cultures us not to go for light, but to love darkness. Because the world transacts in what? In darkness. Darkness is the currency of this world. People who have the greatest darkness are the richest people. People who have the greatest darkness are the richest. The more darkness storage you have, the more edge you have in this world. But you see, that darkness doesn't come as dark. They don't see it as darkness. They see it as a light. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
To them, they are enlightened. Those are the few who have come into philosophies, who have come into the rudiments of this world. Those rudiments are light, kinds of light. That's a darkness that was sold to man as light. That's what is the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. You need to understand also that the Bible calls someone the God of this world. Who is that? The devil. Now you have to know that God himself was a light before. Right? He fell from the realm of light. That realm of the third heavens is what? Is a realm of what? Of those angels were light creatures. As a matter of fact, his name was Light, really. Right? His actual name, I was telling you the other time, his name, Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer, right? Lucifer, that's a Latin word. It means like a bearer of light. But that's not his, that's Latin. The Hebrew word for Lucifer is actually Eiel. That was his name as an angel. Right? Eiel means... Eiel means the bringer of dawn. That was the name of Lucifer in heaven. So he was a light in that realm. Praise the Lord. So, but when he fell to us, the light fell. When they cast down him down from heaven, the light was cast down. A mighty light. You know, that is nature. That is glorious nature. Praise the Lord. Was glory before, but he turned it into darkness. But when he came to Eve, Eve didn't see a dark, you know, devil. Eve saw a light. What was hanging on that tree of knowledge of good and evil was a light. She caught his attention. The brightness, you know, wisdom is brightness. Praise the Lord. Let us open to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm going to read through it quickly. verse 12, it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thou sayest the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. This is speaking of Lucifer now. Full of wisdom, perfect in what? In beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast what? Filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee out of as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17, that's where I want us to see. It says, thine heart was what? Lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast what? Corrupted thy wisdom by reason of what? Thy brightness. Lucifer's problem was that he was too bright. He was brighter than his capacity. He was too bright for himself. He was seeing beyond where God put him. Remember what he said when he fell in, I think, Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I will. He was looking upward. Praise the Lord. He said, I will exalt my above the... Praise the Lord. Yeah, I will ascend above the clouds. I will stand in the congregation. And I will be like the Most High. Praise the Lord. I feel like he was seeing things that angels were not, maybe they weren't bright enough, maybe, to see. So that is that brightness is not just maybe lustre or anything. Brightness is knowledge. What you know makes you bright. When you say someone is bright, it means that the person has things. He has capacity for knowledge, right? People who they call luminaries of the world, someone is a luminary who have been enlightened, so enlightened. It means that he has what? Knowledge. He has storages of knowledge on the inside. So what Satan actually brought, this tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. That tree was a tree offering of light, right? To Eve. Eve saw it. That was if Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. That was what made Adam. Adam was the real problem of humanity, not Eve. Some people like to blame the woman. Say, was the woman that went to take the apple or something? No. I can show you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bible says Eve was deceived. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. The Bible says it. You read it, right? He said, Adam was not deceived. But when you now go to Romans chapter 5, you now say that Adam, through Adam's disobedience. Praise the Lord. So Eve was deceived. Satan was able to... See, the Bible says that the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts. So Satan looked for the most cunning animal. Because why did Satan look for cunningness? Why couldn't he look for a straight animal, look for a cow? Praise the Lord. Because if we brought a cow, the cow can't carry out that job of deception. A cow can't make darkness seem like light. But a serpent can do it. Praise the Lord. The serpent had guile. He was able to paint his darkness like a very glowing light before Eve. Eve was deceived. But Adam saw it. Adam knew who that was. He knew that this tree wasn't good. That's why the Bible calls Adam's sin a sin of what? Disobedience. It wasn't deception. It wasn't deceived. Adam disobeyed. Because he must have fallen for darkness. Does it make sense? The Bible says that in the book of John, this is the condemnation. That light came into the world, but men loved what? darkness rather than light. When someone is saying, revelation, leave this thing, man. Let's just live our simple Christian life. What do they love? What they are saying is that I'm in darkness, but my darkness is easy and simple. I like it. Don't disturb me. That's profanity. That's what God calls profane. Because what? You are not interested in the light of the Creator. You are not interested in the knowledge of the Creator. If God wanted you to remain in darkness and it doesn't mean anything to Him, if God was okay with your simple Christianity, He won't give you this voluminous book. Right? He would just get you born again. Oh yeah, tomorrow let's go to heaven. Just come as you are. Just get born again. In short, if I leave you here for 2 more days, he might even backslide. So let's just bring you. Praise the Lord. Why didn't they just transport you there? Right? No, because you can't come like that. That world is a separate world. It's a separated world. It's a world of lights. You want to know what kind of place God dwells in? Look at the kind of angels that He put around Him. Those angels are beings of light. The glory of their countenance. When John saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down, he went to worship. He thought that was God he saw. The angel said, I'm not God. Don't worship me. Praise the Lord. Worship God. Now, God's goal is to make you more beautiful than angels. The same way Jesus Christ became more beautiful than them. See, as He had by inheritance, what? Obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Since thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Therefore, I will cast you to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may what? They may behold you. Amen. Are you okay? Good? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Esani hello, prenesivanahana. Hamata light, 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 light. Hamasano, afenas, proshia. Hafrana enisamaha inakama. Hamahan, himbetasa. Fasane esizanaha, sesuzana, tati mataste proniva takainahana. Fana, fenikata, ni masaya. Mashana, mesa, elis, elis. Fena, thank you. It's like this teaching is actually the, you know, that tongue that came, and then the interpretation. It wasn't conscious. The Holy Spirit just moved me into teaching about the light of the sun. Remember, that was the interpretation at the beginning when we started, that the Lord will bring us into the light of the sun. And so there's an emphasis on us being awakened and coming into consciousness of our light. It says, arise and shine, for your light. There's a light that is yours. Praise the Lord. He became the light of men. There's a light, it's your light. Light is the light that is your inheritance. Don't be comfortable in darkness. If there are things of God you don't know, you shouldn't be comfortable. You should be pressing. You should be desiring, you should be longing, you should have appetite to come into a greater light. I will enlighten you, saith the Lord. I will enlighten you. I will bring you into light, into greater light. You will know more than you do know now, because I will minister light to you. I will begin to show you the secrets of the divine nature, because these secrets are unveiled and they are revealed in the person of the Son. Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb. Fasian any ana satama. Kalista plastefene shento di hanamasa kalia. Ampretis erivantalo shahaya. Kamanana. Thank you, Jesus. Remember in the book of Revelation chapter 21, when he spoke about the city, that city is a heavenly Jerusalem that came out of heaven from God. The Bible says that city, said there was no sun, right? Or there was no moon in that city. It says that the Lamb was its light. The Father and the Lamb are what? The light of the city. Praise the Lord. So God is actually the light. God has designed that He Himself should be the light by which you see. So God is not okay if you are able to discern things without Him. You are able to, you know, we've gone into study of things, but we are not receiving the light that the Creator shines. Praise the Lord. If I use my own eyes to see something, to me that thing can be good. Right? But if I use the eyes of God, and my sees it's a very evil thing, and I will drop it. So a lot of things that we've accepted as our own, praise the Lord, a lot of things that we have taken, this is through the avenue or through the mechanism or instrumentation of light. That's how Satan imparts darkness to us. Satan has his things. The devil has his things. He wants to give them to you. But the way he'll give them to you is through darkness. But that darkness will be a light to you. Ah, wow, that's so wonderful. It seems so enticing. You now begin to learn it and give yourself to it. But you are being ministered to in the wrong way. He's imparting things into you that you shouldn't have. So without the light of God or the eyes of God, he said, I began to pray for you after I heard of your faith and your love, that what the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. So it's possible for the eyes of your understanding to be darkened. Right? That's what the God of this world does. He blinds the eyes. If our gospel is hid, is he to them who are perishing? Whom what? The God of this world has but blinded. Lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God is bringing us into a season of new light. He wants to change your light. He wants to show you a different way to see, a different way to judge, a different way to live. You will come into a different judgment. The way you determine what is right and wrong will be different. You'll begin to judge according to the wisdom of the heavens, not according to the wisdom of the earth. Amen. Before we go, I want us to just look a little bit at that person, because we are speaking about Christ, who is the Son of God. Peter said, you are the Christ, right? You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So the Christ became the Son. Amen. In the book of Revelation, let's see Revelation chapter 5. Thank you, Father. Perenesh Isa Koranelans. Oren Sina. Horan Sina. Koranesia. Hamanas. Hamanasa. Kalimasuturia Masatu Rishendi. Ivanahatalite. Give us Susementene. Hempratona. Ephraneste. Ephraneste. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We worship your name. We bless you. Amen. 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 Now Christ is the anointed one, right? I mean, he's anointed. Anointed means his spirit, really. It means there's a spirit upon him. Christ is Jesus who has come into the spirit of Christ. I don't know if you can resolve that thought. Right. Christ is, he was just Jesus, just that young man, right? But at a point, he began to interact with things that brought the spirit of Christ upon him. And then he developed, not just upon him, but he developed into the stature of the person of Christ. He came into an anointed stature. by some operations. Yes. They move into Christ. Yeah. And that stature of Christ is not just only, it's not an inheritance for Jesus only. Do you agree? That Christ, God's goal is that for there to be many Christs. You're actually born again to become Christ. You agree? You are made, your destiny is to become Christ. When you come into Christ, then all the things that are in Christ, example, the Father and God. Right? It takes Christ to come into the inheritance of the Father and into God. Because that's who Christ is, simply the man who is anointed to receive God or to come to God. So the stature of Christ capacitates you to come into God. Amen.
Amen.
You see, that place we read in Colossians chapter 2 says that the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of what? And of Christ. Praise the Lord. You see in 1 John, let me just quickly read 2 John. Thank you, Jesus. 2 John. Amen.
Amen.
Second John chapter 9. Yeah. It says, I'll read.
Second John.
Chapter 1, verse 9. Sorry, I didn't add 8 more books. Verse 9. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. So there's something called the doctrine of Christ, right? Now, Jesus came into the doctrine of Christ. Without Jesus learning the doctrine of Christ, he won't become the Christ. Right? So there is a doctrine of Christ in the Spirit which Jesus learned. Something was came upon him. He came into things that brought the doctrine of Christ. Does it make sense? It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So you can't have God without what? Christ. It takes Christ to give you God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you got born again, you don't have God. You have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will bring you into Christ. That's his job. Right? To build the stature of Christ in you. Amen? It starts as just being the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that name of the Holy Ghost. Then he now begins to bring into the name of the Son. The name of the Son is where he's ministered by the Holy Ghost in the capacity of the seven spirits. Right. The menorah. Amen. Now it says that he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And you see, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both what? The Father and the Son. So the doctrine of Christ gives you what? The Father and the Son and God. There are three things there. It says if you don't abide, you don't have God. It means that he who abides is he who is able to come into what? God, right? Then he that had it will also come into the Father, praise the Lord, and the Son. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ came into, what is the word doctrine? What is doctrine? Doctrine. What can someone try to help me explain what the word doctrine means? Yes? It's like a teaching. Sorry? A testament. That's it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So the doctrine of Christ is the testament or the testimony of Christ. Praise the Lord. The testament is that which testifies. Right? He's able to speak it, to declare it, to give the doctrine. Amen. The doctrine is that is the instrument for establishment. I want you see, also see it that way. Because it's one way, it's one thing for you to interact with something, but you're not abiding in it. You see it? You can come maybe once a week or once a month or something. You have heard of doctrine of Christ, but that's not what you are not living in it. You are not abiding in that doctrine. Okay, those who come into receiving the Son, the Father, and God are people who are able to not just, you know, casually interact with the doctrine, but are able to come into what? Abiding. See, those who abided not in the doctrine will not have God. So you have to come to a place where you abide in the doctrine. Abiding in doctrine means you're able to interact with these, with the truths or the principles, to a point where you become rooted in them, and you become what? Established in them. You become an abider. Praise the Lord. So God wants Christians who are established in the doctrine of Christ. Now, what teaches this doctrine? Because if the doctrine of Christ is the doctrine of the anointing, because Christ is the anointed one, right? The doctrine of Christ is a doctrine of the Spirit. The word Christ is actually a man, because that Christ is a man who has come into spiritual stature. Right, because God is spirit, you need a spiritual stature, inward stature, to receive Him. So, a man who has come into that spiritual stature is the Christ. Does it make sense? It means your soul has become what? Spiritual. You're no longer a living soul, you become a quickening spirit in your soul. Your soul has become a quickening spirit, the soul has become spiritual. Is there any question about that? Does it make sense? It makes sense. A quickening spirit is not a language. It's not a description of your spirit man. Right? The moment you're born again, your spirit man is also quickening. Okay, let me not say it's not a description of your spirit man. It is not a goal that your spirit man needs to attain, because that's what it already is. Uh-huh. The day you are born again, you are already what? A quickening. Your spirit man is quickened already. Is already one with Christ. It's become joined with Him. Right? Now, when He says quickening spirit in the language of salvation, right? What needs to become quickening spirit is your soul. Your soul is a living soul. That's what we were made as. But the work, what Christ came to do, was to raise quickening spirits. Souls who are able to behave the way the Spirit does. Who are able to carry out the function of the Spirit. Those are souls who are not just living souls, but they have become what? Quickening spirit. So a quickening spirit is a soul that has attained spiritual stature that can receive divinity. Yeah. Praise the Lord. A soul that can what? Receive what? Divinity. That is a quickening spirit. Now, to make his soul spiritual, who can do it? In his spirit. They mean there is a spirit that was given to train the soul, right? To teach the soul the way of the quickening spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then Jesus had to come into dealings of that spirit. He went into the school of the spirit. Right. For those, you see, those 30 years, right? You wouldn't even hear about him. He was doing his stuff. He wasn't doing miracle or anything. He was in the school of the Spirit. The stature of the Christ was being formed. Praise the Lord. And you need to come into, there is a spirit who has a mandate on the earth. The Holy Ghost, when he was sent from above, he has a job here. His job is not to do all mighty manner of miracles and all. No, before the Holy Ghost came in the upper room, works were being done, miracles were being done, right? Moses did not need the seven spirits to part the Red Sea, did he? Elijah did not need the seven spirits to lock the heavens. Praise the Lord. So, but that seven spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost sent to us, has a mandate, specific mandate on the earth. His mandate is to raise spiritual people, to raise souls. His mandate is to raise the stature of the quickening spirit upon the earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now, that spirit, because Jesus came with that spirit from the womb. Jesus did not need to go and wait for a Pentecost experience. Right? John the Baptist came with spirit. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. You get? Okay. Now that Pentecost experience doesn't mean the Holy Spirit hasn't come in a degree. It just meant that was the point where he was given to the church. Does it make sense? That's where he was. Jesus said, do not go wait in Jerusalem until you've been endued with what? Power from on high. Amen.
Amen.
So that was a corporate release. But Jesus, the way he became Christ, was he began to, those spirits began to teach him and to raise him. Now I want us to see Jesus here. That Jesus also went through that process. Right? To become the Christ. Amen.
Amen. We're almost done. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Isaiah chapter 11. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Michael, can you help me? Read from verse 1.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
Amen. Now, who is this rod out of the stem of Jesse? Sorry? No, not the Spirit.
It's Christ.
Yeah, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. When he says the rod out of the stem of Jesse, Jesse was Jesus' father in the flesh. Right? It was Jesse that brought forth that man, Jesus of Nazareth. Or Jesse was the father of who? David. Right? They also call Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the root and what? The offspring of David. In chapter 5, they call him the root of what? The root of David. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 5 of Revelation. I just want to read it there, but we're going to read this chapter 11 of Isaiah. But in chapter 5 of Revelation, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And verse 5, it says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? The root of David has prevailed to open the book and to what? Loose the seals. Now, who opened the book here? It was Jesus. It was the Bible. It was here, the Lamb, right? Thank you. Verse 6 says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and amidst the elder stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having what? Seven horns, and what? Seven eyes, which are what? The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And then he came and what? Took the book out of the right hand. All right? So he who took the book, this lamb, what did the lamb have? What were his qualities here? Not only that, he had what? Seven. He had seven horns. And then seven eyes. And then the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. So it would take someone who had that credential or that kind of stature to take the book.
So with the horns also
the horns are the authority of the Lamb. The horns, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The eyes rest are on top of the horns. Right? The horns are like, it's like the menorah. You saw it. Those are pretty much horns. Horns and then eyes. The eye is the flame. You see, the menorah is just simply a head, it's like the base, right? A head with seven horns and what? Seven eyes. That's a picture of the lamb. Now, what understanding does that impart to you about Jesus? That he, what? He came into what? The stature of the menorah. He was raised by it. That was his credential. This is what made him the Christ. This book, you take the Christ to take this book. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he had that stature. He came and took the book out of the hand of him. Now he says here, verse 5, one of the elders has said unto him, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So that lamb was the root of David. So they are telling you he came from David in the flesh. He was the root of David. The root of David normally is just a flesh, normal man, David's child. But he wasn't just the root of David. He had what? The Spirit. He was being raised by the Spirit. He had come into the stature of the Christ. That's how he's able to take that book. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, if he didn't take that book, he can't give the book. Because that book is actually the book of his revelation. Not his own. You get it. Remember, think of Christ as a container. I don't know if I can use that word. But he's a container that has the ability to what? To carry God. Right? That's why, except if you've not been established in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You can't have the Father and the Son. Right? So Christ is a stature that can carry God. So you now find that God, carrying God, is actually the same thing as carrying the revelation of God. The revelation of God. If God wants to reveal himself, that's the end of the promise. Those of us who were at the program. Last promise is that I shall be your God, and what? You shall be my people. But it doesn't start from there. There are things that must happen. Right? So the Christ is the one who has the capacity to receive that promise. Where God has become your God. And you have become what? His people. So Christ is actually, he alone, it will take Christ to take that book. That book is actually the book of God. It's the book of his life. Amen. Is the book of God's revelation. Is the revelation of God for man. The destination of that revelation is man. But if you take a man who has become a Christ to take it, it says no one was found worthy. Have you seen this place? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4. It said, and I wept much because no man was what? Found worthy to open and to read the book. Neither to look thereon. No man, it searched all through men. Means that in the realm of flesh and blood, nobody was found. You need someone with some spiritual capacity, right? Who has been capacitated to handle God, to take that book out of the hand of him. Now, this book of Revelation is actually keys or an archive in the letter that will give you access into the content of this book that's at the right hand. The book of Revelation, this book of Revelation, is actually our keys because it's letter. But the real real revelation is spiritual. It's the content of the book. That's why John was weeping. If this thing did not happen, the book of Revelation would have been to chapter 5. There would have been no chapter 6 to 22. They would have said that the book was in the hand of him that sat. Nobody could open it. I wept, and then I went home. Yeah. And then the book would have ended, the end of the Bible. But we thank God that that's not the end. We thank God that an angel came and said, weep not. He said, weep not. Weep not. Because there's someone that was raised. There was someone who was prepared. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open up the book. And to what? Reveal the seals thereof. You see, after this thing happened, then chapter 6 began the revelation of the seals. From chapter 6 to chapter 22, everything that happened came out of this revelation of the content of this book. So, Yet the real revelation in the book of Revelations started from chapter 6. Because those revelations were locked up by the seals. The seven seals locked them up. But it took the Christ to unveil them so that they can be shown. Let's see, Revelation chapter 1, it says it there clearly. Verse 1, what does it say? The revelation of what? Jesus Christ. Is it his own? Did he manufacture it? No. Continue. Which God gave to him. So it's really, this book of Revelation is really the revelation of God. Because it's the author of this revelation is not Jesus. He was given it. Or he took it. So it is actually the revelation of God, which God gave to Jesus. But Jesus is not the end recipient either. He came and took it for somebody, for us, which God gave unto him to what? Show unto his servants things which was take place. And then he sent it and signified it by his angel unto John. You see, then John now was now able to write, and he had this experience. Praise the Lord. So it takes the Christ to receive the revelation of God. That's what the Christ was raised for. We need a man who can receive God. What do? Let us send someone who can become the Christ. And when he becomes the Christ, he can receive the revelation of God and give it to men. So men who are coming into the doctrine of Christ, praise the Lord, as they are learning the doctrine, they are coming into what? The secrets, or what? The revelation. Amen. So in Isaiah 11, we're rounding up now. It says there, and there shall come forth a rod out of what? The stem of Jesse. Now we now know clearly who that rod is. And what? A branch shall grow. When you hear the branch in the Bible, that's Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And what? So this book, they're actually telling you how they raised that man. Right? How they raised the Christ. How did he become who he was? It says, and then the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of what? Knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. Now, how many spirits are there?
Seven.
Praise the Lord. Those are the seven spirits of God, which are those seven eyes which the Lamb had on his head. Right? Those are the seven flames of God. They are the light of God. He says those seven spirits will rest upon him. And then when they rest upon him, verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding. That understanding, quick understanding, means that they will open the eyes of his understanding. Or the eyes of his understanding shall be what? Enlightened. Enlightened means to be enlightened is to be made quick. The standard for measuring speed is the speed of light. Do you agree? Right? How do you measure how fast a thing is? Is the speed of light. You see, right? Not even the speed of sound. Because light is what? Faster. You hear supersonic jet, that's just trying to create maybe a jet that can go faster than the speed of sound. But you can't come to that light dimension. Light is the quickest thing we know. There are a lot of things in science, right, in physics, that are measured based on light. For example, light years. That's how you measure the distance from here to maybe one galaxy. Is it how many light years? A light year is the distance light will travel in 1 year. That's a measure of what? Of distance. Praise the Lord. Because light is the quickest thing in the natural. The quickest thing that has ever been observed is light. Photons. The speed at which they travel. Praise the Lord. So light is quickness. Amen. We now hear the word of God is quick and powerful. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The word of God is light. It's light nature. It is quick nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if you want to be quick, you need to come into a different light. You need to come into the light of the quickening spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Said, and shall make him quick of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. You see, there's an eyes he has because he is the root of David, of Jesse. And Jesse's kids have eyes, natural eyes. They can see naturally. But he will come into capacity for a higher judgment that's not based on what he sees. He will come into a capacity of a judgment based of a different pair of eyes, praise the Lord, that can judge in righteousness. He says, but he shall not judge with the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness with the girdle of his reins. You now begin to see the wisdom of the Christ. All that came from the activity of the seven spirits within him. So you think, people say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I want to become like Jesus and all that. Right? But we don't understand the technology of how such a man that can arrive at those judgments. When that woman, they say they call the woman in adultery. Right? The natural eyes will do some things. Okay, she sinned. Okay, let's deal with her. Praise the Lord. But the different eyes thought and said, no, there's a different way to handle this situation. Praise the Lord. You see, that eyes is where redemption came from. The thought of redemption, the redemptive thought, comes from that different, like, understanding. That's what makes him a great shepherd. Because he's that great shepherd of the sheep. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray for us this morning, as the Lord has made abundantly clear his intention to bring us into a new season of light. A new season of light is a new season of judgment, where we will gain eyes from above, divine eyes, inward eyes, that will help us to come into the mystery of God. I pray for us tonight, or this morning, that these eyes will begin to open up on the inside of us. You will begin to be enlightened by His Spirit. You will begin to overcome the grip of philosophies, of the rudiments of this world, vain deceit. You will no longer be deceived anymore, because the light of God, which darkness cannot comprehend, will begin to shine on the inside of you. Let's just begin to bless God this morning for His word.
Between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth.